You want to talk about good timing? You talk about Bob Cardillo. Just made his way in here. Mr. Cardillo, good morning. So it's been a big couple days for you.
Yes, very much so.
Yesterday you announced your platforms, and we were there, and you really want to hit... describe what you want real quick about your platform on what you want to hit for the city of Utica.
We have a vision for the city of Utica where we want to be able to make sure that everybody in this community is involved. One of the things that I think is very important is as we drive into this community, we need to make sure that this community looks good. Because
yeah.
if you look good, you feel good.
Absolutely. And if the city looks good, then the residents feel good. You're absolutely right on that. Nobody wants to say, oh, I was at Utica the other day and what a dump.
No. Well, I think about it this way. I look at it on a personal level. If you wake up in the morning, you know, you get one of those days, well, I'm just going to throw a hat on, especially when you're like me and you don't have a full head of hair. You throw a hat on and you don't shave and you're kind of, you know, walking around in, you know, some ugly clothes or whatever. By the time the middle of the day comes, you don't really feel very good. So you want to make sure you get up and you're crisp and you're looking sharp and you perform better. So mm-hmm. the city's the same way.
Yeah.
If it doesn't look good, it doesn't feel good, it's not going to perform well. And we want to make sure that the city can perform well. That means we got to make sure that our streets are clean, our streets are paved, the flowers are planted, the lawn is mowed in areas where it's public property. And in the wintertime, the streets are plowed.
Plowing the streets, that's a big thing these days.
It's a very big thing these days.
So what's your background, Bob? Not a lot of people have really gotten a chance to know you yet. And if your policies are out there, you released yesterday, and people could read it in the paper or see it on the news. What about you personally? What's your background? Where'd you grow up? Your family?
I grew up in Utica, 1930 Rector Street. My mom and dad, Mary and Tulio Cardillo, born and raised in the city of Utica. I went to St. Anthony's Grammar School, went to Notre Dame High School.
Yeah, which 100% graduation rate this year.
There you go.
And they're all going to college. That's amazing.
That's the way it was when we went when we went to Notre Dame.
You don't see that enough these days in any school.
It's a great school. It's a great education. I kept on the same road on Burstone Road, and I went to Utica College, graduated from Utica College. I was very fortunate enough right out of college to be able to work for Congressman Donald Mitchell, who was Sherry's predecessor. Actually, Sherry Bollert and I worked very closely together because he was Don Mitchell's chief of staff,
yep.
and I was legislative assistant in the office, and that's how Sherry and I became very close. And I was able to work for Don, and then I had some opportunities. I lived in Hartford, Connecticut. I worked for the Xerox Corporation. Then I came back to Utica for the number of years, and then I was in the state government. I worked in the Pataki administration as the director of the Business Competitiveness Program in Albany, and then came here as the regional director for Empire State Development Corporation. When we did the deal for ConMed, APEC, Camden Wire, PAR Technology, we were able to work on all of these projects. Then I was elected to the Oneida County Republican Chairman.
Which I'm sure was a fun job.
It was, and it's a different job. Very,
yeah,
very different
absolutely.
Job. When you're the leader and the chairman of the party, you have a totally different constituency because your constituency are the party members.
Right.
And, you know, we were very successful. We had a great run. Ralph Yenis was county executive. Ray Meyer was our state senator. Joe Griffo was the mayor of Rome. I believe we only lost one judgeship. So we had a very, very good record. We won several common council seats. Tim Julian was elected mayor.
Mm-hmm.
So we did a pretty good job, and we had a great effort, and it was a great team of putting people together. Then I left. I was in the county legislature for a year, and I was appointed to the county legislature, and I ran for the seat, and I didn't maintain the seat. And Ed Walsh, who's now the county legislator in that district, who serves there now, that's still a Republican seat and has been for 10 years. And then I had the opportunity to work in the Bush administration. I spent almost seven years in the Bush administration, first in New York City as the community planning and development director. I ran the largest CPD office in the country. From there, I went to Washington, and I was the special assistant to the assistant deputy secretary of field policy and management. Mm-hmm. And I was asked by the administration to go down to the Mississippi Gulf Coast and work on the efforts after the hurricane. So I spent 4 years in Mississippi, in Jackson, Mississippi, working on the rebuild of the Mississippi Gulf Coast.
Wow.
And I had the opportunity to work very closely with Governor Haley Barbour, who's a good friend. So I've had a pretty significant background in rebuilding, and knowing where to find certain things. We ran the 9/11 project after the unfortunate terrorist attack. I was part of the Lower Manhattan Development Corporation rebuild, and then obviously down on the Gulf Coast with the Mississippi Redevelopment Operation.
So it sounds like you were very successful out of the area. A lot of people wonder why you're coming back at this point. We're struggling as a city, and people are kind of wondering, well, why is he coming back now? Why are you gunning for the top spot in the city at this point?
Well, first of all, I've left, but I never really left.
Right.
My heart and my soul.
Yeah, you've already had family,
my
children
family,
here.
My family are here. My wife's here. I came back home, and both of my sons live here. My son, Nick, was in Washington for a year, and then was fortunate enough to be able to come back, and my son, Bob, who's in the music business, he's traveled around the country, but God bless him, he's able to still be here. I look at it as an opportunity for me to be able to take the experience and the knowledge that I have, which is pretty significant, and to be able to take and apply that experience and knowledge to this position. I think one of the things we need to do in this community is to think outside the box, which I don't think we do enough of that. There is absolutely nothing wrong with being born and raised and staying in this community for
absolutely.
Your entire life.
Yeah.
However, if there's somebody who has been fortunate, and I say every day that God has been good to me, I've had a lot of very good experiences, but I have those experiences that I can bring back to this community and explore other alternatives. I have a Rolodex of people that I'm very close to, people that I have bragged and talked about Utica over and over and over again. No matter where I have gone, whether it's been in Mississippi or in Los Angeles where I went to law school, where it's been in New York City or wherever I've traveled, Utica's been on my tip of my tongue, and that's all I ever talk about. I'll tell you a funny story.
I would love a funny story.
Roy Bernardi, who was the mayor of Syracuse, which is the person who wanted me to come down to HUD because he was the assistant secretary of HUD, we used to have these running discussions about sausage. And there are people in Syracuse that have Gianelli sausage. Well, I brought them our sausage from Utica.
Thank you.
And I said, there is no way that the sausage in Syracuse
is
anywhere near close to the sausage in Utica.
No, Roma's sausage could
That's
kill everybody.
Right.
I know
you're Roma's, Frolatico's, all of them.
Yeah,
they're all
you
fantastic.
Got it.
And I have to tell you, Utica wins every single day of the week.
Absolutely.
And I would deliver sausage to my friends in Washington, and I would bring an Italian, a little velich, a little case of with my pack, and I'd get on the airplane, and I'm bringing sausage and stuff from Utica. But a part of that is because I'm very proud of this community that has been very good to me, very good to my family. My cousins, all my relatives, they're all here. It's a wonderful place to be.
It really is.
And I think that one of the issues that we have is we don't sell ourselves enough.
Yeah.
We sell ourselves very short. And I believe that having been in other places and seen a lot of other opportunities, mm-hmm. a lot of other things, I can bring that enthusiasm and some of those other ideas back to Utica. I'll give you an example. I've been on Beale Street in Memphis, Beale Street's fun.
Yeah, it is.
And I've been on Bourbon Street in New Orleans, okay? I've spent a lot of time in both places because they were both in my region. If you go down to Varick Street and take a look at what goes on Varick Street, you could have a little Beale Street and a little Beale Street on Varick Street. There's a lot of music. There's a lot of entertainment. And instead of doing things like the Boilermaker where it's a great project,
mm-hmm.
it's a great opportunity, we need to do the Boilermaker more than once a year. We need to have that kind of enthusiasm and that kind of entertainment to go on to keep people like yourselves that are young, that want to stay here, grow here,
absolutely.
Live here, and raise a family.
Well, that brings me to the next question. How do you stem the tide of the brain drain, quote unquote, of Mohawk Valley with young professionals seeing greener pasture elsewhere and, you know, moving out, and it's killing us? Because it really takes our job force and the future leaders of the community away. How do you keep young people in the community? And that's a problem that everybody's been kind of facing.
Absolutely. And you know, we have to face the reality. The reality is we're in New York State, which is a high tax state.
Yeah.
We're in New York State, which has very high energy costs. But having said that, we are also in an area where our taxes, as high as we believe they are, aren't necessarily as high as a lot of other places in New York State and around the country. Our fees for services aren't as high as they are in other places in the country. And quite frankly, the cost of our housing is fantastic.
Yeah, it really is.
Compared to other places in the country, the cost of our housing is phenomenal. So if we look at the assets that we have, we need to concentrate and focus on one thing, and that's creating the opportunity for the small businesses and for the companies in this area to grow and prosper. And everybody talks about, well, we're going to create jobs. You can't create jobs unless you create the environment, unless you create the opportunity for that businessman to hire more people. That's how you create jobs. And we will do that. We'll do that by working with each and every one of these local firms. Best example in the world is ConMed, which was a company that started over here on Columbia Street many years ago with an idea. And look at where they are now.
Yeah.
And I was fortunate enough to be able to be one of the people to help put that deal together. So we need to focus on how we can make this a better place for an environment for the business people to do business, because we have all the other assets.
Yeah.
There aren't very many cities of 50,000 people that have the Munson Williams Proctor Institute, that have the zoo, which I happened to go up to the event they had up there last weekend.
See the lion?
It was fantastic.
The lion's pretty sweet.
I don't want to see the lion. But I saw the guy walking around with the alligator and the snake.
Oh, geez, that's enough for me. Right?
Well, I saw too many alligators down in the Mississippi Gulf Coast. But the idea that we have these assets, you have a Robert Trent Jones golf course, which is a municipal course in the middle of the city. There aren't very many places in this country where you can walk on and play golf.
Yeah.
Your tee times, you're waiting forever for tee times.
Oh, yeah.
Here's a place where we need to sell this community. The mayor needs to be the salesman.
Yep.
Okay. We also need, and I have said this, and I said this yesterday in my platform, that we need to work with other parts of local government. We need to work closely with Oneida County, with our county executive, with Tony Pacenti. We need to work closely with Mayor Jim Brown, who happened to be at my event yesterday. Reason for that is because we've got to recognize the fact that we can't do this alone. We are a region. Herkimer County.
Yeah.
I grew up on Rucker Street, across the street from Proctor Park. I could throw a stone to the Herkimer County line.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, part of the Masonic Home was in Herkimer County for many, many years. So we need to work together to make things happen, to share services, to consolidate when possible, and consolidate for the betterment of all of the local people so that we can attract and make those small business people want to create and grow their jobs here.
We're joined by the endorsed Republican candidate and Conservative Party candidate and independent. That's right. You got three lines.
Yes.
So it's Bob Cardillo. He's running for the city of Utica mayor. You spoke about ethics yesterday at your press conference. And that Larry Tenori, who was running for common council, said he would like to see an ethics committee formed. What's your how are you going to clean up city halls, quote, so to speak? Not saying corrupt or anything.
I think one of the things that I have had experience in working both in the state and federal government and New York City, because I was a lobbyist for New York City Off Track Betting. Each one of those positions, I had to fill out significant documentation every year to make sure that there was no conflicts of interest with regard to the activities that I performed within my job.
Right.
I think that's something that we can start doing here. I don't know whether the city has any kind of ethics rules per se. I don't know if they do or they don't. But what I want to be able to do is say, look, if you come to work for this administration, we need you there all the time. It needs to be about your passion and your commitment to the city of Utica, not about getting a job so that you could further your own benefit, particularly financially.
Right.
That can't happen, and it won't happen in this administration. So I think the idea of ethics rules and ethics reform, and even in New York State,
it's a hot topic. Yeah.
It's a very hot topic. So I would certainly welcome that kind of a dialogue to talk about implementing some kind of a program.
Public safety commissioner, city of Utica need it. We have a like you said yesterday, we have a chief of the fire department and a chief of police. Do we need a public safety commissioner?
With the first thing that I want to be able to do, if we're so fortunate enough to be elected and have the honor of serving the people of the city, would be to look and evaluate the position of public safety commissioner. And here's the reason why. It has nothing to do with the current commissioner or any of the issues that have been around involved within this situation. What it has to do with is very simple. We have a police chief and a fire chief that are both civil service.
Right.
Okay. The mayor is a full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
The mayor needs to be the administrator of the city. It's a strong mayor form of government. There are a lot of ways that the mayor could integrate his policy with public safety with those two individuals and other people within City Hall without having the other layer of a public safety commissioner. Now, having said that, we need to evaluate it to make sure that we can provide the same level of service, an adequate level of service to the people of this city, because that's what they want. They want safe streets.
Yeah.
They want to make sure that, God forbid, there's a problem, their fire department's there. And our police and fire department have done a fantastic job in serving the people of this city. So I would look at it in terms of, from a point of view of the charter, I believe the public safety commissioner's position is in the charter. So
yes,
you can't eliminate the position.
Yeah, legally, they have to have it.
Right. You can't eliminate the position, but you don't have to fund it.
Right.
So if you don't fund it, you can save the money that's spent in that office.
Tim Julian was the mayor and the public safety commissioner.
I think Tim did a great job with it. But I think you need to have some kind of a combination, but you don't have to have it necessarily a full office like that. First thing we would look at, because if we can save money, it saves money for the taxpayers of this city.
The property tax cap at 2% looks like it's going to happen throughout the state. And how do you make up that difference? They raised the taxes up at 3.9% this year, and we would have lose that 1.9%. If that tax cap was in place, how do you make up? And this is a big argument in the Common Council, is that instead of cutting budgets, we need to raise revenue. How do you raise new revenue for the city of Utica?
Well, you need to do a combination of both.
Yeah,
clearly need to do a combination of both. Raising revenue, the way you raise revenue is to create an environment for the business community to grow. That's as simple as it gets.
Yeah,
unless we can have more business people that are selling product or renovating buildings that are going to be on the tax rolls, that's how we're going to generate revenue. If we have more people and more shops, they're going to create sales tax revenue. We can't continue to beat up the property owner.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work. Now, having said that, what we have to start to learn to do is to do more with less. Cutting is one thing. Consolidating is something else. There's ways that I believe we can administer this government by consolidating certain services even within city government. I think we need to look at how we do our purchasing. We need to take a look at how we do, for example, we have, I don't know how many garages we have.
Right.
The police, the fire, the DPW, the parks department. They're all buying product. Well, maybe there's a way that we can save some money by consolidating some of those services. I know that the county, Oneida County right now, under the, county office, Melo Testa has done a very good job there with going on eBay and selling product.
Every
single nickel that we can save is going to be a tremendous asset for this city. So I think we need to have a combination of increasing revenue, cutting waste, consolidating, and just making this run like a more streamlined operation. And you know, a lot of people say we're going to run it like a business. Government is not a business.
Mm-hmm.
It also... People need to recognize that. It's very easy for somebody to say we're going to run it like a business. It's a government. It provides services. And when you provide services to people, you don't make money providing those services.
Yeah.
So you have to be cognizant of the fact that we have to get lean and mean, do more with less, but also recognize that we have a service that we have to provide to the public.
HSBC building, where do you stand? Should we get rid of it? Parking lot, what do you think?
Here is my view on surface parking. And I, as a student of economic development and as somebody who's been involved in economic development for the majority of my professional life, and having seen other communities, parking lots make a community look like it's not prosperous, and quite frankly, it makes a community look very dead.
Mm-hmm.
If you drive down Genesee Street and you start seeing parking lots all over the place, that's not going to make the city look good or prosperous. I haven't been in the building. Okay, so I can't really comment on it, what it looks like inside or what it would take to do it. As a general principle, I'm not in favor of taking beautiful old buildings and tearing them down. I'll give you an example, again, because I'm a little bit older. I've been around. In the 60s, when we did urban renewal, they took all of these gorgeous buildings that we had around the county office building, tore all of those beautiful row houses down. And there are a lot of people that think about it now. Some of the older folks think about, wow, those were great places. And all other communities are regentrifying those areas by taking those beautiful old brownstones and doing something with them.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't do that. We just tore everything down and made parking lots out of it and put up these buildings that came from the 60s. We got to be very careful as to how we do that. And I would hope that this administration, recognizing that there's only 6 months left to the administration since David, the mayor's decided not to run, that they would kind of put a hold and let whomever the new mayor is, and I hope that the people in the interview process decide that it's me, wait and let the new administration, because it's going to be 4 years of that administration, decide where the program should really go.
Master plan. David Raffaro spent about $300,000 to construct and craft a master plan for the city of Utica. What would you do with it? Would you continue with it? Would you scrap it? Would you take some of it? What would you do?
First of all, a master plan is a good start, okay? The idea of scrapping it would be foolish.
Mm-hmm.
We've spent the money on it. These were professionals that did it. But any plan has to have somebody's own spin on it, if you will. Regardless of whoever is the mayor at any given point in time, they're going to have some of their own ideas. It's very much like in presidential administration, administration changes, you've got the basis. The basics are there, but each administration has its own spin on how they're going to run the government. I think the master plan was a good idea to get us on track. I think we have to recognize that we're not a city of 100,000 people anymore.
Right, yeah.
We have an infrastructure of a city for 100,000 people, and I think some of the ideas that are in the master plan need to be continued, but we also need to be able to recognize that those things can be modified as time goes on.
Bob Cardillo, thank you so much for coming in, and good luck in this election. It seems like it's starting earlier this year.
Well, I think with the potential of primaries,
and you'll be facing Mike Seminaro in the primary.
Yes,
just throw that out there.
He's challenging me in the primary. And I welcome the debate. One thing I'd just like to add by saying, and I said this yesterday, this needs to be an exchange of ideas.
Yeah.
That's what this is all about. This is not about personality, and people need to recognize the fact that there are serious issues that are facing this community, and there are serious issues facing this community, and we need serious people to tackle those issues.
Websites, anything you got going?
Yep. Check the website. It's www.cardilloformayor.com. It's a very nice website. It gets uploaded, and our video is on from yesterday's news conference. Our headquarters is on Genesee Street, 1519 Genesee Street. We're out there in the community, and anybody who needs to contact us, please do.
Excellent. Mr. Cardillo, thank you so much.